and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Yes. Speak your word and it shall not. Somebody, let's get it right. Because if we don't get it right, we will struggle like the people of this world. But we really don't have to struggle like the people of this world if we get it right. Let's get our priorities right. Let's get our priorities right. It's a problem of mixed priorities. We have everything scattered all over the place. We are following after things and seeking after things that don't make sense where God and heaven is concerned. It's like we are more controlled by things instead of controlling things. We are controlled by things. And so it's made us victims and vulnerable and casualties to the challenges of our day and our generation. But the Bible said, as your days, so shall thy strength be. Somebody say, Jesus Christ is Lord. So let's begin our journey, and we'll continue on Wednesday, depending on the time. And remember, tonight at 4 p.m., we have a special movie, and the man that put the movie together is going to be in the second service. He flew from Kenya to be here. He was a nobody. First of all, he was a millionaire. He had a lot of money, and God told him to go adopt street kids. So he adopted over 3,500 street kids and brought them to his house and added them to his own kids, legally adopted them. And he fed them, took care of them, sent them to school, everything. And after a while, he lost all his wealth. He lost everything, became bankrupt. And God asked him to go to a village, and he went and he started. And the movie is very interesting, and how they had no water, they had no food, and God led him to a particular place on the land, and they did everything. They didn't have water, and God woke him up and said, go to a particular spot on the land and dig that place. And they tried, and water wouldn't come. And the Lord said, I told you there is water, keep digging. And suddenly, they had abundance of water from a place where everybody said there can never be water. And he bounced back. He's a multi-millionaire, and they have over 15,000 street kids that they brought in, trained them. Some are doctors, lawyers, engineers, CEOs, married. I mean, a tremendous story. And this movie is being played all over East and Southern Africa and the United States and other parts of Europe, and we felt like you need to see it. So we'll be playing it at 4 p.m. today. Please come with your kids, get some popcorn and some drinks, and just relax and watch this movie. It's interesting. It will bless your heart. Please don't stay home. You know, Christians, you don't go to movies, you don't go to nightclubs, you don't go to discos unless you've been stealing yourself and going anywhere. But I know you don't go anywhere, and then after Sunday, you just stay home and you keep reading your Bible, and you are not just involved in nothing, you know, and you are not connected to anybody. Some of you don't go to the cells on Saturday. You have no life. This is once in a while that you all come out and just wear some pants and jeans and, you know, feel free. Just come around and watch this movie. He'll be here himself. He'll be at the second service, and so we will interact with him and ask him some questions. But Rosa have watched it 5 times. So many people have watched it over and over again. It's just amazing. It's just about an hour, 20 minutes movie, and I look forward to watching it. So please be here. Don't miss it. Tell somebody, for once, be here. Tell somebody, for once, for once. Tell somebody, I know you are very private. You are very private. You don't like going out on Sundays, but for once. Oh, come on, somebody. You didn't tell them. Don't let them scare you. Some people make their face like Sergeant Major in church so that everybody will be scared of. I saw somebody yesterday. I said, you, where are you from? And he said, Kumasi. I said, where in Kumasi? And then why is that mountain people go and pray there? Achia Mountain. I said, you are from Achia Mountain? He said, yes, yes, yes. I said, your face like Achia Mountain. All right, so supernatural provision. Please come with me. Let's begin our journey quickly. Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 18th verse. Matthew 16 and 18.
And I say also unto thee,
yes,
that thou art Peter, and mm-hmm. upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Number one, when he said this rock, he wasn't referring to Peter. If you go back to the subsequent verses, he was referring to the revelation of who he is or was. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, this my Father revealed unto you. You did not receive the revelation of who I am by education, by logic, by philosophy, but it came to you by illumination. Somebody say illumination. I can't hear you. Talk to me this morning. Say illumination. And he said, because you received this illumination of who I am, who I truly am, different from men's perspective and who men say that I am, he said, upon this revelation, an act, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So he wasn't referring to Peter. So please keep that in mind, that the church is built on a revelation of who Jesus is. It's not built upon any human personality. It's not built on Paul, nor Archbishop Duncan Williams, or prophets, or pastors, or apostles. Is built on the revelation of who Jesus is. Amen. Then he went further to say that I'm build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not stand a chance. So only once in the New Testament was that word mentioned, or is the word church, my church, I'll build my church, or the gates of hell. When he talks about the gates of hell, it's only once mentioned in the New Testament where he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And when he mentioned the gates of hell, it was in reference with the church he was building. And so you can see that the enemy really hates the church. Hell and the gates of hell, which means the strategy or the methodology of hell, or the workings or the philosophies of hell, that hell hates the building of the church. Hell don't like the church. We fought many battles for over 20-something years before we could find this place to come here. And to build this church, it took everything you can ever think of. And we are still in the process of building. We haven't finished yet. There are certain aspects of the original plan that hasn't yet been done. And when it comes to building churches, it takes forever to build it. And one of the reasons why it takes forever to build churches compared to other religions and their temples is because we have mixed priority as Christians and believers. But please understand that when it comes to building the church, the gates of hell is one thing that will oppose the building of the church. And that is why I'm very passionate about the National Cathedral, irrespective of political persuasions and belief. Others may be in it for political reasons, but I am in it for a different reason. I am in it for the kingdom and for God and for country. So it depends on what your priorities are, but my priority is different. Everybody comes to church for different reasons. Some come to look, some come to find wives, some come to find husbands. I'm told that even people go to funeral and they dress very nicely to go and catch a man or catch a woman at funerals. Amazing. But it's all about motives, you know. Talking to somebody yesterday and I said that everybody can be big, but not everybody can be great. And you can be big overnight, but you can't be great overnight, because to be great has to do with being tested and tried. And so many people don't want to be tested and tried in life. And there are people whose ambition in life is just to be big, overtake everybody, be better, be bigger than everybody. That is fine. But you got to check your motive while you are doing it. Because if your motive for doing it is to prove a point and is for relevance, before heaven, you have no reward. You know, somebody saw a very interesting revelation, and it was about Bishop Nyaku and some very powerful men of God, and he mentioned the names, and I won't mention their names. And he said in the spirit, he saw everybody wearing white in the spirit. But Bishop Nyaku's white was like light and diamonds. And he was in a very high rank among all these great men of God. These are big guys. And so he came to me and said, Papa, what do you think? And I said, that tells you that heaven's definition of success is different from man's definition of success. That the man may not have even 100 people he's pastoring over. He doesn't have a church of even 100 people. But as long as heaven is concerned, he's ranked higher than some certain people who have thousands of churches and 50, 100,000 people in their church all over the place with huge building. And he said, Papa, I was scared because when I saw them and I saw Bishop Nyaku and his rank in the spirit, and I look at all those people, they were like kids in the spirit. And I said, that has a lot to tell you. So don't be too impressed. Tell somebody, don't be too impressed with big. Because the enemy of big, tell someone, the enemy of big. Is greatness. A lot of people in this life, let me put it the other way rather. The enemy of greatness is big. That is the way I wanted to put it. The enemy of great is big. A lot of people want to be big, but they don't want to be great. You want to be great, you'll be tested and tried. And with much afflictions, shall we enter into God's kingdom. Say amen. So one thing Jesus is doing or God is building on earth is not your business or my business. He's building his church. And anyone connected to the building of his church has your priority right. That is the way God sees it. Anyone involved in building his church, whether the universal church or local churches, as long as God is concerned, you have gotten your priorities right. See, I hear you. Okay, Matthew 6:33 is a very simple scripture that we have to always go back to, because sometimes we get so deep in some deep scriptures that we forget the basics.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Turn to somebody and ask them, are you seeking first the kingdom? Are you seeking first the kingdom? The truth of the matter is that, you know, we are not seeking first the kingdom. Some of us are seeking first our phones. In church, we are deep in social media than hearing even the message. We are into our phones. I'm told that one of the things that is causing divorce today in marriages, apart from communication, money, and the issue of sex, is telephone. That people come to bed with telephone. So the man is ready for action and the woman is on the phone. Or the woman is ready and the man is on the phone. And they come to bed with the phone, with their phones, and they wake up with their phones in bed. And it's creating a lot of stress and problems and conflict. People are fighting over telephone. That is how we have become. We've lost it. Mixed priorities. And he says, seek ye first. You got to seek first the kingdom. What does it mean? It means that let the kingdom be your first priority above every other priority. Tomorrow morning, I was looking at something the other day. I was looking at my schedule and agenda for the year. And as I looked at my different appointments and things, I was looking at of these appointments on my calendar is connected to seeking of the kingdom. And I have to change a lot of things because I realize that some of them have nothing to do with the kingdom And it has to do, even not about me, it has to do with the agenda and the priorities of others pulling me into their agenda. And I said, no. God didn't give me favor for this and for that, for the benefit of others. He blessed me, favored me, and anointed me for the kingdom, his kingdom, his agenda, not the agenda of others. So I told myself, I said, cancel this. Say no to this. Tell this person I have conflict. Tell this person I have no clearance in the spirit. Tell this person I'm not available. And I said, just cancel all of this. Why should I use heaven's resources, God's anointing, God's oil, God's favor on my life for the benefit of people who have their own agenda and they don't care about God's agenda, God's mandate, God's kingdom, and it's just about them and how they can be relevant, how they can make money, how they can be big, fulfilling their own ambition and using what God has given to me for their benefit? I said, no, I'm not doing it. I got to begin to judge some of the appointments and some of the invitations. And I turned down a lot of things. So many international boards, come here, we want you to be chairman, we want you to be on our board. And I look at it and I ask myself, which of these boards and activities brings glory to God? If they don't bring glory to God, and they don't speak to God's purpose, and it's about man, and the motive is about men becoming relevant, accepted, or acceptance, or big, I don't want to be part of it. Just leave me alone. And that is very serious. I want you to look at your agenda. Check your schedule, your timetable, and see how many hours and days and weeks you spend on yourself, on the things of men, and things that benefit others, and compare it to his kingdom. And ask yourself, am I using the favor, God's anointing and grace on my life for his benefit, for which he gave it to me, or am I using it for the benefit of men? We have to examine our hearts. We have to examine and check our motives, why we do the things we do, and why we even seek to have wealth or money, or why we work, the reason for which you work. Why are you working? I'll show you a strange scripture that will blow your mind when it comes to even why we work, because we are commanded to work and give what we earn from working to others and not even use it for ourselves. It's amazing how God thinks. He thinks differently than you and I think. Go to Ephesians 4. Check Ephesians 4:28. Check Ephesians 4:28. I need to go back to, we have to move away, Bishop. You know, this thing is really hurting us. So this latest, just press and everything comes up. Before, we kept everything in our mind. Could recite many scriptures. These days we become lazy. We are not exercising the mind anymore. Okay, go ahead.
Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his
first. Thoughts. Let him labor. The word labor here is like a woman in travail. Okay, go.
Working with his hands, the thing which is good.
The thing which is good is money. Money is not evil. It's the love of money that is evil. It's when the love for money or money takes the place of God in your life, then it becomes evil. But money in itself is not evil. Money is like a knife or a gun in the hand of anyone. It's what you do with it. You can do good with money or you can do evil with money. But there are consequences. I told a very powerful man the other day, very, very powerful, as a matter of fact, a president. And I said, Mr. President, you have a lot of power. And you can do whatever you please during the time, during your term of office. But let me remind you that for every action and for whatever a man does, there are consequences. There are consequences. So you can think you have all this power and you can do what you please. Yes, but there are consequences. And that one, you don't control it. There's a big man above you who controls that one. Go ahead.
That he may have to give to him that needeth.
You see, So even working to make money, labor, work, it requires effort. He said, it's for the benefit of others and not for your own benefit. That's the way God thinks. God says, I want you to labor, I want you to work, I want you to have money, but I want it to be for the benefit of others and not for yourself. If it's about you, as long as God is concerned, you are selfish. And I say, God, you want me to labor and work the way I do for the benefit of others? Yes. God said, that is the essence of living. That is the reason why I made you and created you, that you may have for the benefit of others. And as long as it's about others, God says, you are my good book. When it becomes about you, you miss it. And that's the way God thinks. And we don't think that way, but that is the way God thinks. And we need to be rewired. Tell somebody, excuse me, you need to be rewired. You need to be rewired. Yeah. See, I hear you. Come with me to Philippians 2:21. Philippians 2:21. Philippians 2:21.
For all seek their own.
All seek their own.
Not the things which are Jesus Christ.
Please read it again as I drink my water, and don't look at me when I'm drinking my water, because you are sitting down, you are just listening, and I'm talking. So let me drink water. Can I, please?
For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus. Water is good. Thank you, Bishop. I appreciate it. Bishop, take this water back, please. Thank you. You know, if you don't take it away the way they are looking at me, I'll be in trouble. Read it again, please.
For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ.
So ask somebody, what are you seeking in life? What are you seeking in this life? Ask two people, what are you seeking for in this life? He said, for all seek the things of their own, not the things that are of who? Jesus Christ. Simple as that. That's what is happening. Even in the church, everybody is seeking their own thing. Tomorrow morning, you will see how we'll all be scattered all over the world. People traveling, going up and down, meet people at the airport. This one is catching that flight. This one is going there. Everybody is busy following and going after some idea, ambition, and something, and they all have reasons why. They are flying to all the earth. But the purpose and the reason is not about Christ Jesus, but about self. Say self, 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 self. Are you driven by self? Or are you driven with the things that are about Jesus Christ? Got to examine your heart, because you see, there's a time and a day comes when everything stops. And that is the day of reckoning. And all the things we've sought after and we've gained and have and put in our secret bank accounts and all the cars and the houses and the investment will all become nothing. It will mean nothing. And you will have to reckon on that day with your Creator what you did with the life, the time, the resources, the favor, the influence, the anointing, the access, and everything that was given to you here on earth. You will have to reckon with your Creator on that day. My job is just to remind you, you know, not to forget why you are here. Because that is a possibility. We can easily forget why we are here and be distracted. I don't want you to be distracted. I don't want you to forget. My job is to remind you that one day we will all answer to our Creator what we did with time, resources, and favor given to us. Some of us have never built a church. We have needs to build churches in villages, churches outside the city. We'll be sitting in mega buildings in Accra, but just go out of Accra a little bit, just to Insawam and Adrojuri, and a little bit after Insawam, you'll see great needs. And every one of us seated here are blessed in one way or the other. We can make contribution and build a church building of 50 people and 100 people and 200, 5, 1,000. We can do it. And it will please God to see you use the resources He gave you, the favor and the access and the influence He gave you to expand this church. There are people who are in positions of authority, and a conspiracy will come up and rise against the church. And you are there. You hear it. And you are afraid to lose your job. So you sit down, you say nothing. When you can stand up and say, no, I'm not part of this. This is wrong. You can't do this. But you sit there, you say nothing because you don't want to offend your political party or you don't want to lose your job. And so you sit there and allow innocent people to be destroyed. Let's examine our heart and ask ourselves, what am I doing for the benefit of the church? One day, when everything comes to an end, you will have the opportunity to face your Creator. And I'm telling you, it won't be fun. It won't be fun. So let's get it right now. See, I hear you. Philippians 4, 15 and 16. There's a scripture where everybody quotes it. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's not true. It's not for every believer. This is for specific believers. It's not for every believer. Go ahead.
Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia,
underline the word the gospel.
Mm-hmm. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving.
No church. There are churches in this world that never give to mission. This has to do with mission. Missions. Most African American churches in America don't give to missions. They don't give a dime to mission. They are into themselves. Very, very selfish. Very selfish. Into themselves. Never give out. They will even take from the poor in Africa. It's all over. And churches in Africa do the same. The churches in Africa, we don't give to missions. We don't support missions. We don't give out. We don't build. We don't dig boreholes. We don't give back to the community. We don't give back to the villages. It's all about us. And that has to stop. It has to stop. We have to reach out. You know, we are putting together. I just got a land for a safe house for young ladies pregnant and some young ladies who live in uncompleted houses and don't have a place to stay. They are all over the place. And somebody was saying, but Papa, you are into drug rehab, you are into orphanage, you are into prayer mantle, you are into this. Is it not enough? And I said, no, it's not enough. I said, but you say you need money for that. Then where are you going to get this money from? I said, it's none of your business. It's a burden I have to do something about. So it's not about the resources. It's about responding to the burden. Tell somebody, respond to the burden. Respond to the burden. Tell somebody, respond to the need. Sometimes it's not about the resources. Sometimes we complain, we don't have money. Money will come if you do something about the burden God has placed on you. God has the resources. He just wants you to do something about the burden. Say, I hear you. Tell somebody, do something. Tell somebody, let your life count for something. Let your life count for something. Tell somebody, you can do something. You can do something about the needs around you. You can. You can do something about the needs around you. You don't have to have money to do something. You can do something. When you make the move, money will come. See, I hear you. There are needs all over the place. Young ladies are being raped by their own fathers and their uncles. There are difficult situations out there with some of these young girls. They don't have anywhere to go. Have nowhere to go. A young girl said, I'm with a sugar daddy. I don't like it, but the house I live in, the car I drive, everything came from him. And if I leave him, he takes everything away from me. So how do I leave? How do I leave it? How do I do the right thing? I know what the right thing is. And I'm a single mother, so how do I manage this? The church has to start thinking out of the box and start looking at some of these situations and stop condemning people and judging people because you really don't know what is putting them in that situation. You don't know why they are doing the things they are doing. You don't know the motive and the reason. And before you condemn them and you throw stones at them, you have to really examine the situation. Seriously. I'm not saying we should encourage and go ahead and approve and allow people to misbehave. Okay, I'm talking about both men and women, especially the young ladies. I'm not saying we should allow them to misbehave. But we got to really take some time, and especially you, the elderly women in the church, before you throw stones at them, can you please take some time, love on them a little bit, get to know them, get to find out what's going on, ask them, is there anything I can help? Is there anything I can do? I was talking to a lady the other day, and he said, Papa, I see the problem and the need, but I can't take her to my house because if I bring her to my house, my husband may be in trouble. And that may also be true. Oh, yeah. Because you are trying to save her and you bring her home and she looks at your life and everything and suddenly she targets your husband because she wants what you have. So you are trying to deliver her and she also decides to deliver you. No, that is very serious. So it's a very complex situation we are dealing with. Very complex. And yet we have to do something. We can't ignore it. It is suicidal to ignore it. You can't ignore it. You can't. We got to do something. And it's expensive. It takes money. It takes effort. It takes vision. Work. Labor. Hard work. Because if we don't do something, it becomes indifference. And indifference is the reason why 800,000 people within 3 months, women, children, and men, were murdered in cold blood in Rwanda. Indifference is the reason why almost 6 million Jews were murdered by Hitler in Germany. Indifference. And there's a lot of indifference even in the church. Some of you have shoes you are not wearing. Shoes, shirts. So many things you are not doing anything about it. Even the women, your hair. You have about 50 hair. Different hairstyles. Because some of the hair is not yours anyway. You know, and you won't share it with anybody. You keep changing your hair. And somebody don't have one. We don't share anything. We sit in church and we don't feel for anybody. People don't even come to church for a whole month, 2 months, 3 months. And nobody asks, where is so-so and so? Where is so-so and so? You know, I was asking Bishop Boda today about somebody I haven't seen for a long time. I said, where is that lady? You know, so yeah. You know, we don't check on people. We don't just care for our neighbor. It's like what Ken said, am I my brother's keeper? There's no compassion. There's no true love in the house of God anymore. And sometimes too, you try to love people and they say, why do you care? Why are you so concerned? And they become suspicious. And you know why they become suspicious? Because we are not used to caring and loving. So when you start caring and loving, they begin to read into it that, this person is up to something. Because we are not used to caring and loving one another. But we have to begin somewhere. Let's do it now. Amen. Tell somebody, let's do it now. Why is it that some of you are not even clapping, doing nothing? Even clap, cry, you won't clap in church. Hey! Hey, Asamu, it's heavy. Even clapping in church is a problem. Somebody say, mercy.
No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving.
No church.
But you only.
There was only one church.
For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my
necessity. He said once and again, you kept sending consistency. I was talking to some of our members the other day when I was in America, and they said, Papa, we've been tithing heavily, and things are falling apart. We are losing deals. Money is not coming. Everything is falling apart. We are facing some challenges, difficult. So I made a call and I spoke to an owner of a bank, a friend of mine who owns a bank who helped us when I lived in America to buy our first property. So I told them, go see this person and see what they can do to help you. So they went, they gave me the feedback and all that. And then just before I left America, they brought me a contract that they just signed, $10 million. Suddenly, from nowhere. They weren't expecting. But I told them, I said, listen, it is a temptation. Satan is tempting you and God is allowing you to see whether you'll be consistent or you'll just be doing it when things are fine. Then when difficulties come, you back off. I said, don't back off. Keep doing it. And God is faithful. Amen. And he will show himself. Amen. And God did. Tell somebody, don't stop doing the right thing. Don't stop doing the right thing. Amen. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. In the name of he who died and lay in the grave and arose, triumphant on the third day, we declare, get yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stop.